Striving together. Last week it was striving together in prayer and the importance of that. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ethan did an introductory lesson on striving together. Tonight we want to look at the topic as a church of striving together in confidence and being confident in the Lord. So Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 20, we're going to read these verses. And then we'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Bible study for tonight. Philippians 4, beginning in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a short word of prayer. Father, we ask that You'd bless now our Bible study tonight. Speak to our hearts through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that You draw each of us closer to You, that we would learn tonight and make these applications to our lives. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray these things. Amen. Well, how is your confidence level? How confident are you? And I'm not talking about a self-assurance type confidence, although if you looked confidence up in the dictionary, that is one of the definitions of confidence, having a self-assurance. But the two other parts to the definition are this, that you rely on someone or something, and you have a firm trust in them. And then Webster also says that confidence is having a feeling of certainty. And then again, the third one is that you have a self-assurance. Well, we're not talking about a self-assurance tonight. We're talking about a God assurance or the Savior's assurance in our lives. But as a group of believers, one of the reasons that Jesus, I believe, established the church was so that you and I could have the assurances of not only knowing Him as our Savior, but the assurance of the promises of God's Word. And we can make that application in our life. On your handout, I have a quote from Warren Wiersbe, who said this. He said, "The most important part of a tree is the part you can't see, the root system. And the most important part of the Christian life is the part that only God sees. Unless we draw upon the deep resources of God by faith, we will fail against the pressures of life." You ever walk through the forest, or you ever see when a wind blows, even if it's not in the forest, maybe in your neighborhood, more often than not, the trees that blow over and the roots that come up are more like the pine trees. The big oak trees, they usually just snap if they're going to break. Their roots are deep, but pine trees' roots are very shallow. You ever have any excavating work done? Like the hill behind my house was filled with very large pine trees when I had that cleared, and when they dug up the stump, They didn't dig up all the roots. I didn't know they were going to do this. But if this was the trunk of the tree, the roots of a pine tree, and I think the roots of all trees, will spread out as far as the limbs of the tree go. But when they got rid of those, when they dug up those stumps, they didn't take all the roots out. The excavator just chopped around the stump and left the rest of the roots in the ground because the root system are huge on those trees. But for you and I as Christians, our roots need to be deep, and the deeper our roots, the more confidence that we'll have individually, and by the way, the more confidence we'll have as a church. For instance, Pastor Ethan talked about the van. Well, we made an offer on the van, and we're trusting God, we're putting our confidence in God that in 2 weeks, we're going to raise another $1,000 to buy the van. And we'll see how God works. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. But three things I want to give you tonight that we find in Philippians chapter 4. It's my favorite book in the New Testament, favorite of Paul's epistles, I guess I should say. And I love the book of Philippians. But in Philippians chapter 4, these three points, and the first is this with regards to our confidence. The fill in the blank here is the product of placing confidence in God. What is the product of placing confidence in God? And Paul here is going to draw on his experiences with God, not only with God, but his history with the Philippians, his history with believers. And we see here a glimpse of Paul's heart and his mind here in Philippians chapter 4 with regards to his confidence. So let's look at a couple of things. What will confidence in the Lord produce? Well, look at verse 10. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Now, let me just stop there. Anybody know where Paul is writing this from? Yep, he's in prison. So he has found joy in prison. "I rejoiced in the Lord," he said, "greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." That little phrase at the end where it says you lacked opportunity. The Philippians were always trying to help Paul. They didn't always have the ability to help him. That's what it means by they lacked opportunity. But when they did have opportunity, they did help him. And we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But it produced cheer, it produced joy in Paul's life. In fact, in the book of Philippians, if you count them up, you'll find the word rejoice or the word joy 18 times. It's the theme, really, of the book. Now, there are some things in life that are joy killers. In fact, I was talking with someone this morning, and they told me that they were reminded, as a believer, that they were not going to allow the circumstances that were now taking place in their life to steal their joy. He said to me, "Pastor, you've preached that many times, that nothing can steal our joy. But on the other hand, we have an enemy that wants to steal our joy." So just think about that for a minute. What are some things in our life that can steal the joy of the Lord? Some tools, if you will, that Satan tries to use, or our flesh tries to use to steal the joy of the Lord. What might something be? Go ahead. Yeah, envy or jealousy of others can steal our joy. What else? Huh? Fear. Yeah, fear or anxiety can steal our joy. Bitterness. Very good. Can steal our joy. What else? Anger. Anything else you can think of? Yes? Yeah, rejection. Unforgiveness. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So circumstance, go ahead, Jim. Thank you. Yeah, that's true. So you could say sometimes our health can steal our joy. Sure. So those are good things. And so Paul, though, reminds us here, he is in prison, and these circumstances are not good, but all through the book of Philippians, he talks about joy and rejoicing, and he has confidence in that. But it also produces contentment. Look at verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Anybody have a rough idea how, when Paul writes this, how long he's been a Christian? How long do you think he's been a Christian when he said this? I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Actually, over 30 years. 30 years of Paul's life. He's learned these things through all of the circumstances and all of the trials and all of the tribulations that he's gone through. But he's learned that he can put his confidence that the Lord will keep him content. He says in verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to hunger, or to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Through all the unpredictability, Paul has learned to be content. 30 plus years here of serving the Lord. And that's part of building our confidence. The longer you're a Christian, the more confidence you ought to have in the Lord. Amen? And so, the longer you serve in a local church and the body of believers, they grow in confidence in the things of God. And then, what else does it produce? But it produces courage in verse 13. Let's read this verse out loud together. It's a great verse, isn't it? Let's begin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Pastor Ethan kind of hit a little bit on this topic in last Sunday morning's message. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Be strong and of good courage. Remember, the Lord told that to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, but keep your eyes upon the Lord for your strength. So on our handout, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And as your confidence in the Lord grows, you'll start to look at all the different things that happen in your life and realize, while they may not be good, that the Lord can take them and the Lord can turn them to good. Amen? And it's just the way the Lord works. And such a great truth. So that's the product. And Paul here, he draws from all the experiences in his life, all the things that he learned from. Everything in life ought to be a learning experience. But secondly, on your handout, the second fill-in is this: the people who practice confidence in God. So in other words, Paul shifts his focus here from himself and his own confidence to the Philippians. So, because you might say, well, yeah, Paul, he's like a superhero of the faith. Well, what about the Philippians? They're not all named here. We don't know them by name, but he's referring to them. These were men and women like you and me, with all the same problems in life and all the different circumstances, but they loved the Lord and they were confident in the things of God. I would almost venture to say that the early Christians, and then all down through Christian history, and then even today in more difficult places in the world where we have brothers and sisters serving the Lord, that their confidence in the Lord has to be greater because of the circumstances they find themselves in. Whether it's persecution or whether it's great poverty or anything along those lines. But Paul reminds us of some things here with regards to these people. And he uses the example of how they took care of him. So in verses 10, 14, and 16, these Philippians who had very little, they saw the need and they gave. Look again at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. In other words, you once again, you took care of me, wherein you were also careful. In other words, that word careful means they really wanted to do this. And even when they lacked opportunity, they were looking for a way. How can we help Paul? Even though our resources are so small, how can we help him? Well, they had confidence that the Lord would enable them to help the Apostle Paul. They had confidence in the Lord and that in the care there. So what happens? They sow the seeds when they gave. They sowed seeds in verse 17. Oh, no. Let's look at verses 14 and 16 first. He said this, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Wow. That's pretty high praise for this group of believers. Somehow they found a way. Somehow they made it happen because their confidence was in God. And when they did, they sowed seeds when they gave. Look at verse 17. "Not because I desire a gift," Paul said, "but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." You know what they did? They made an investment in the Apostle Paul. You know what we do when you give to the ministry of Mount Greylock Baptist Church? You are making an investment, really, in the Lord's ministry. When you give to missions, or you give to camp, I've had people give to camp, or when you give to help purchase the van, you're making an investment in the Lord's ministry. If you ever invested money, there is what's called an ROI. Anybody know what what ROI stands for in investing? No, you're all big-time investors here. Huh? Steve said it. Return on investment. So if you invest money, like for instance, I was reading this article. If you had money invested in the stock market on January 1st this year, from January 1st to July the 24th, right? Today's the 24th. The stock market has gone up 12%. So think about that. So if you had $100,000 in the stock market, it's gone up 12%. How much money did you make? You made $12,000. That's your return on investment. But that investment is going to burn up one day. I'm not saying it's wrong to invest in the stock market, but you understand what I'm saying. But when you give to the Lord's work, it's an investment that absolutely never will burn up. It's laid up in heaven. And when we fail to do that, we're very short-sighted. We're very short-sighted. These people, the Philippians, they had an investment. That investment was in heaven. Someone once said this, that giving is not a debt that we owe, but it is a seed that we sow. It's not a debt that we owe, it's a seed that we sow. Thirdly, under this point here, they practiced spiritual deeds as they gave. 15 through 16, look what it says. And by the way, why could they do this? They had confidence in God. Why? Let me just stop for a minute. Why is it that people, they just have a hard time with regards to giving? And a lot of times it is truly because they just lack confidence in God and His Word. But look how they did it here, this group of people. It says in verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So number one, that in and of itself was a spiritual deed, because the Lord has commanded us to give. But notice, it was an exceptional experience. Exceptional in the sense that they were the only ones that were doing it. But in verse number 16, we're reminded that they only did it once, it was repetitive. They did it again and again. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. And then thirdly, it was worshipful in verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Many think Epaphroditus may have been the pastor at that time of the church in Philippi. And when Paul received it, it was sweet-smelling, a sweet-smelling fragrance in the nostrils of God. Why? Because the Lord needed their money? No, absolutely not. But they were displaying their confidence in God. Look on your handout. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit. It's a misprint there. Life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So they understood there was a return on their investment. Do we understand it? And Paul, he cites himself, the product of placing their confidence. But he said, it wasn't only me. These other believers. These Philippians, they had confidence in God, and they displayed that confidence in God. And then lastly, the promise, that's the last fill-in, the promise that provides confidence in God, verses 19 through 20. The promise that provides confidence in God. God's promises to believers, it wasn't just to the folks in Philippi, it's to believers down through the ages. The reality of God's promise. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. The emphasis there is my God. Paul said, it's my God will do this. Our God will do this. We're trusting in our God. We're trusting that our God will... We're putting confidence in the fact that we can take the 90% that we have and do with it and give the 10% to the Lord. That's what he was saying here. They were this group of believers, they were going to take however much less they out of their own and sent it to Paul because they are confident that whatever percentage it was, and I'm just using 10% as a term, but let's say the Philippians, each of them took 10% and they gave it to Paul. They were confident that God would take care of the needs even with the 90% that was left. Because it was God that was doing it. They weren't expecting some benevolent individual from outside to come and take care of their need. They were trusting in the abilities of God. And the second subpoint, the resources of God's promise. Well, they're unlimited in verse 19. He'll supply your needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is there anything that God needs? Just us to trust Him. No, there's nothing that God needs. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and the stars that shine. It's a great song to sing, but do we believe it? You know when we believe it? When we exercise our confidence in Him and all that we do. Amen? And Paul understood that. And by the way, I've been kind of emphasizing financial, but we talked about some things that were joy robbers. When we're going through emotional struggles, well, God's resources are unlimited. We need to put our confidence in Him. Whether it's emotional or financial or spiritual or physical needs, we put our confidence in Him. Because His resources are totally unlimited. And then verse 20, the results of God's promises. Look what it says. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So when we learn what confidence in God produces, and we allow it to be produced in our lives. And then when we see others, by the way, why do we publish in the bulletin the weekly giving? Is it just to give a report to the church of this is what was given last week in the general account, and this was given last week in the missions account, and this was given last week for the van, or this was given last week? Is it just a, no, it's for people to see that and for people to realize that people are giving. Obviously, when you have an offering, I think we average like $1,700 or $1,800 a week in giving, obviously that's not coming from one person. That's coming from a multitude of people who have confidence in God. That's why we do it. When we have a missions account and we're giving $800 a week in missions, then that's obviously not one person's giving $800 per week. That's displaying that there are many people who put their confidence in God. And so on and so forth. And it brings glory to Him. We've already seen that. We're glorifying the Lord. When we give, we're glorifying Him. So giving, however we give, is really, in its most basic sense, it's just a simple response from God's children to Him. Believing that He will keep His promises. Believing He will keep His promises to meet your needs, even without those funds that you've used to give. Luke 6:38 on your handout. Jesus said this, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again." Jesus taught that, the idea of giving. How's your confidence in God? How's your confidence level in God? Well, often it's displayed by your giving. How much are you trusting Him in the predictable as well as the unpredictable? Do you have confidence in Him? The more you and I as a church, or the more you and I individually have confidence in the Lord, the more collectively as a church we'll have confidence in the things of God and we'll see God do great things. Amen? That's our Bible study for tonight. Striving together in confidence, being confident in the things of God. And Paul saw that confidence here in the believers in Philippi and wanted to share their confidence. And he's been sharing their confidence for over 2,000 years because it's written for us here in the Scriptures. Well, let's bow our heads. We'll have a word of prayer, and then you can go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask that You'd bless now our prayer time. We come to You, Lord, confident that You not only hear our requests, but You answer them. And Lord, we come confident that You'll answer them according to Your will. We accept that. So bless now our prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.